Let's begin in standing and just take a little look around yourself. So you see right and left, and can you distinguish movements of your eyes from movements of the head and shoulders and legs? Now, pause for a moment looking forward and take your hand in front of your face somewhere comfortable and just move the hand back and forth gently and see, can you see your hand clearly there? If you're leaving your head still, how just the one hand back and forth, as if you were reading something on your hand. If you shake your hand a little, the image becomes a little less clear, right? Now hold the hand still, and at a similar rate, just take the head back and forth and note what the quality of the image is like. For most of us, more stable. Right, so there are two different ways of seeing that are related to how we're structured, our nervous system, and relationships of the eyes and the movement in front of you, etc. So, having made that distinction, please lie on your back. So as we get started here, note the way that your current residual muscular tone, which of course affects your shape, is reflected in the way you rest on the floor. That is, in some places you press into the floor, in some places you are away from the floor. If we look at these directions relative to ourselves, some places we press back into the floor, and in some places we are lifted forward away from the floor. So for yourself, get a sense of perhaps a spot like the left heel, how it rests on the floor, whether any other part of the foot, if your foot's rolled to one side, for most folks out, how much of this edge of the foot is in contact with the floor. What you know about the tilt of that left foot to the side, based on that contact. Again, in other words, your shape is reflected in some way by the way you contact the floor. And compare it to the right. So you can make distinctions in your experience which reflect your state, your shape here at the beginning of the lesson. Then you can kind of consider the whole of the left leg, how it's turned out to the left, what part of the lower leg rests on the floor, and compare it to the right. For most of us, there's small distinctions there that you can make. It's an interesting thing in awareness through movement. Simply bringing your attention to something can introduce a little bit of change there, but the idea is not to change anything specifically, but to refine this ability to move your attention and to understand, to know in a particular way, to make refinements in that these distinctions. So you move up the left leg and find the thigh behind the knee. Note where you're in contact with the floor and where you're not. all the way up maybe into the area of the hip or low back, and your sense of that may be clear or less clear, where you're in the contact with the floor, where you're away, and what it's like at the juncture of those two. But regardless, compare it to the other side, to the right. And moving up, get a sense of the whole of the low back. Of course, you still have two sides here, but at the trunk, we just have the one trunk. Is there a difference that you can determine between the two sides, the muscular tone in the back or the abdomen, how you rest on the floor, whether you have the sense of the space behind the low back on the right and left is different? And now we begin to imply a midline. So where is that? How much of you falls to the right of the midline as you experience it? If you drew a line that included the center of the nose and the center of the torso and came between the two legs, in your felt sense, how much is to the right and how much is to the left? And you can make the distinctions about that in the upper back and the rib cage, where you're in contact with the floor, where you're away from it, how the right differs from the left. Consider the two shoulders, the shoulder girdle, the shoulder blades, how the arms rest. And consider the neck and head, moving from the bottom, the direction of the feet, up in the top, the direction of the head to the top of the head. Where are you in contact with the floor? Where does the upper back come away from the floor? What's your sense of the shape of the space behind the neck, which you don't, of course, sense directly, but you infer, you know something about? And where's that contact at the back of the head relative to that central line? Is that contact a little more to the right of the line, a little more to the left? What does that let you know about the orientation of the head, both left and right, and up overhead and down in the direction of the feet? Would you say your face is more or less forward, or is it tipped up a little or down a little? Is it a little to the right or to the left? And get a sense of your breathing, the movements of it, where you move as you inhale and exhale, whether that's changeable over the various cycles of breathing. That is, whether it changes. And finally here, let's get a sense, an overall sense of your contact with the floor, the quality of your breathing, differences between right and left, kind of a snapshot to the degree that that's clear to you. All right, now stand the 2 feet so that the knees come forward, the soles of the feet are on the floor. Kind of work out the details for yourself here. I'll help you out if you're having some difficulty. And now cross the right leg over the left and do so that the foot hangs down and the knees are kind of close to each other. And move the left foot if you need to so that it's a little more on that central line. So the back of the right knee is near it's just over the lower part of the left thigh, and note what this is like here, if that changed anything in the back, and begin starting here at the central position, to tip the knees a little to the right in a small movement at first, and back to the center. You can gradually increase the size of the movement, always coming to the center and then off to the right and then back. Note how the contact with the floor behind the hips changes. And as you make the movement possibly a little bit comfortably larger, keeping the return movement also smooth, clear. Note if you begin to notice any movement in the head. You may not, and just look for it. The movement gets a little bit larger. So do the movement slowly. You can pause a little briefly when the knees are forward so that each movement is distinct. Now, with the knees forward, just pause for a moment here. And if you're wearing glasses, remove them so that you can use your eyes in a particular way that doesn't include looking through a fixed frame. And begin to include the movement of the head so that as you take the knees to the right and back to the middle, that the head as well turns in the direction that the knees go. So you synchronize the movement of the nose, the movement of the chin, the forehead with the movement of the knees. And make it slow enough so that you know when you're initiating, you know when you're pausing or coming to a stop at the right and turning back. Pause momentarily when the knees are forward. And really get a sense that you synchronize the pelvis, the knees, with the head, the face, the nose. With the eyes open now. All right, leave it for a moment. Unfold the legs, extend them on the floor, and rest. You can rest with your legs long if that's comfortable, and you're, of course, welcome in awareness through movement to rest any time, and the things that might get you to choose resting are when your attention begins to flag, or it's not usually that you're tired, so perhaps your attention shifts, it's difficult to pay attention, or the movement begins to become sort of mechanical when there's a couple times where you may decide, well, I'll just pause and extend my legs and rest, or just pause in the middle of moving. We'll also call for rest, but you choose for yourself. All right, stand the 2 feet again and cross once again the right over the left, putting the left foot somewhere in the middle on the midline so that the knees balance. If the foot is off to the left, it kind of biases this a little bit, so maybe the left foot is closer to that center line. And begin again this action of taking the knees to the right, with the head going to the right, synchronizing. And see if it's possible that the eyes can move along with the head. What is that all about? So when you look forward in this direction, that's the ceiling. Do your eyes sort of catch on features up there in front of you? Or can you at least begin to entertain the idea that the eyes would rest in the head and move with the head and slide across the environment in a sense? That may not be immediately available, but we will begin to work with that a little bit. Now, close your left eye and look only with the right. See how, as you continue the movement, if this changes the availability of that smooth sliding across the visual field, of the visual field, perhaps, relative to you. See that you've kept your breathing continuous. And note how much of the spine turns from below, how much turns from above with the neck. And as you come to the right, what do you see over there? How far do you see at the sort of right edge of your visual field if you leave your eyes quiet? All right. Next time you come to the middle, switch the eyes so that you close the right eye and look with the left and take this up. Note immediately, what do you see over to your right looking out of the left eye? Maybe perhaps you note that the turning is a little bit larger, it may be, looking out of this eye, what's now the top eye as you look off to the side. And of course, it's not a process of straining to look further or pushing in any way. You just make these small changes and note difference. And is this notion that you could slide the eyes uniformly to the right different with this eye open? And try again with both eyes open. But as the head turns, so turn the knees. The eyes rest in the eye sockets, and to the degree that it's available, the view slides across the ceiling and comes back, rather than going in starts and stops. All right. Next time you come to the middle, unfold your legs and rest. So similar to the small pauses while you're moving, coming to rest is a significantly a resting of your attention. You don't attend to anything in particular, though you may note difference. Or maybe something just stands out to you. So by way of a little bit of background for these kinds of movements and use of the eyes, there are various nervous system configurations or components maybe, which things like the vestibulo-ocular reflex and the optokinetic response, these are things that we experience, or they're a kind of particular kind of description of the things behind what we experience visually. Earlier when you were looking at your hand and moving the hand versus leaving the hand still and moving the head, you experience a couple different kinds of visual experience there. There's also a kind of visual experience that's the description of it for people who study these things is the optokinetic response. And this is a kind of thing that happens when large parts of the visual field seem to slide, and for example, maybe you've had the experience of sitting in a car and traffic at a light, and the cars next to you move forward, and you have a sudden sense of movement, and maybe you feel that you're moving backward. things like that. So Feldenkrais here, while he's aware of those things, it's not that we're studying to understand these systems, but to look in our experience to find these things, perhaps, and use them to improve our capacity, in this case, to know what we're doing when we're moving the head and eyes, in service of improving that. All right, so stand the feet once again. Take the right leg over the left, as before. Put the left foot along the center line somewhere. And now, fold your left arm and drape it on the chest and reach over to the left elbow or shoulder with the right hand so you can get a hold of the left shoulder with the right hand. And take up this movement again with the eyes open and use the hand there to draw the left shoulder along so that the shoulder girdle turns too. Kind of reach around the outside of the shoulder, perhaps, and the left arm can remain kind of long, or you can fold it on across the front of yourself, whatever is comfortable, convenient. You can get a hold of the elbow or the shoulder, just something so you draw the shoulders along in the movement. And take up this project again with the two eyes open of looking smoothly across the ceiling in front of you as the knees turn, as the head turns. And note how this is different through the trunk. More of the spine turns, more in a way that everything stays more together. And you work to keep the movement smooth, in particular as you come to rest to the right and come back. And you work to keep the movement of the eyes quiet in the head and smooth across the ceiling. Now, what happens to the ribs on the right side as they come more in contact with the floor? Perhaps they flatten a little bit, or the weight is distributed differently as you move on to the right side a little bit. All right, and then leave this, unfold the legs, and you can take your time about it, but roll to one side and come up to stand briefly. You're kind of staying in the lesson, as it were, so you don't work too hard to come up. And once you're standing, let's take a look around yourself as you did earlier. To the right and to the left. Let's see what the quality of movement of turning is like here after this little piece of the lesson. And take a few steps around, take a little walk looking to right and left. Is there anything different about turning to the right or to the left? That could be something simple that we find easily, like the degree of turn, or it could be the quality of the movement, softness of it, the availability of one side or the other, something different in the movement of the eyes, or not. You don't need to go trying to create something that you don't discover for yourself. All right, and come back, find your way to your back on the floor. All right, stand the two feet, and this time cross the left leg over the right the other way and adjust the position of the right foot so that the balance is easy. And begin to take the knees to the left and the face to the left, both eyes open. You can start with a small movement and build it gradually, pausing briefly in the middle just to have a distinct start for each movement. And note what's going on in the rib cage as the head and hips turn, what presses more into the floor, even if it's a small difference. Note how the pelvis comes more into contact with the floor on the left, same with the back of the head. And take up this project of moving the eyes with the head so that there's the movement of the eyes and the movement of the head is not differentiated. The eyes simply rest in the head and the head carries the eyes to the left. And again, you see to the degree to which this is possible. It may be that you find some starting and stopping, the saccadic movement of the eyes. Or perhaps you can begin to find a way to make it a little more smooth if the eyes move with the head. Now close the right eye, look only with the left. Try that out. Again, if you have glasses, keep them off if you can so that the they're not a part of this. And note what you see off to your left, looking with the left eye. That is, what part of the wall to the left? How far down the wall do you see? What part of the room does the visual field take in? Now, close the left eye and open the right, and compare the visual field that you take in off to the left. Keeping the knees synchronized with the nose. You notice there a fine distinction about the degree to which the head turns here as you take the sliding right eye off to the left. All right, leave it, unfold the legs and rest for a moment. Stand the feet again and cross the left leg over the right, putting the foot where it's balanced. And fold your right arm across the front of yourself somewhere and get a hold of the right shoulder with the left hand. Maybe out around the side of the upper arm, wherever it's comfortable. And with both eyes open, sliding the eyes across the ceiling, turn to the left. Take the knees, the nose, and now the right shoulder comes away from the floor. There's a more undifferentiated movement of the whole trunk. Everything turns to the left. And go carefully enough so that you can, when you come fully to the left, you can stop and come back to the middle without increasing the amount of effort. And know what this is like along the whole left side, what happens in the rib cage, perhaps just the changing pressure there. The way that the middle rolls with the pelvis and the head. All right, and then next time you come to the middle, unfold the arms and legs, extend them, and rest. All right, bend the two legs, stand the feet, cross the right leg over the left. And now returning to the right, as the knees go to the right, take the head and open eyes to the left. So the head turns in the opposite direction of the pelvis. So as the knees diverge from center going off to the right, the head goes off to the left. See what that's like. How is this different? What happens in the whole of the back? Which vertebrae go with the pelvis? Which ones go with the head? To the degree that you can imagine that, where is the center of that? Where the back and ribs above are turning to the left as the lower ones are turning to the right. And close the right eye and look only with the left, keeping this, or taking up again, this project of sliding the eye with the head across the ceiling in front. And switch the eyes. See if that's different. Do you turn the head farther with this eye open? Or less far? You really synchronize it so when the knees are together in the middle, the nose is facing forward, there's a brief pause, and then you take this action up. And try again with both eyes open. See how this project of letting the eyes move with the head, seeing what happens with the visual field, keeping the movement of the eyes smooth, how that's going. All right, pause and unfold the legs and rest for a moment. Stand the two feet and cross them the other way with the left over the right. And take the knees and the pelvis to the left as the head goes to the right. So trying this on this side. Again, take care that you move slowly enough so that you can attend to what's going on, that you can reverse the direction and come back to the middle without extra effort. And you note what happens through the whole middle of yourself. Which ribs come more in contact with the floor and on which side? Which ones go with the head and which ones go with the hips, the vertebrae that is? And take up this notion of sliding the eyes across the ceiling smoothly without jerks or stops to the degree that's possible. And close the left eye and look only with the right, the one that will come closer to the floor. Get a sense of the visual field over there, how far along that wall to your side or whatever else you're looking at, what you take in over there. Whether it's easier to slide across the visual field, so to speak, with this one eye open compared to two, and then switch the eyes so you're looking out of the left eye, looking with, using the left eye. How is that project of allowing the visual field to slide going here? And open both eyes, see what that's like. The knees go to the left and the head goes to the right. Has that ability to move the eyes with the head changed at all? All right, and then leave it and rest. All right, once again, roll to one side and come up to stand and take a little walk around, see what it's like to turn right and left and look about. See if you can come up with the same quality of movement where you don't add effort compared to your way of moving in the lesson so far. But your breathing remains continuous. You pause in standing first and look around a little bit right and left. See if you can avoid adjusting or fixing yourself in some way. See if there's anything novel in your experience coming to stand and looking around and taking a few steps and looking left and right, noting the quality of turning or what you note about the movement of the eyes in the visual field. It doesn't have to be one thing or another. How does the head turn relative to the pelvis? With it, together? Does it change as you bring one foot forward to step? Are the two sides different? Or similar? And come back and find your spot on the floor, wherever that is now, and come to your back. And bend the two knees, stand the feet. Now, listen for just a moment. What you'll do is use the legs to lift the pelvis from the floor a little bit and slide the two hands behind your, if you can comfortably, stacked one on top of the other behind the low ribs. And if not, maybe a little bit lower, maybe just the fingertips are touching behind you. And but if you can, get the thumb or index finger part of the hand at least behind the low ribs, something so that there's a little bit between the low ribs and the floor. So, now this of course constrains the movement a little bit, or will constrain it. Cross the legs with the right over the left. And take care with your two shoulders. You see that this is comfortable. And hopefully you're constraining the rib cage a little. The hands aren't behind the hips, but that are maybe even if it's just the fingertips or the thumb, something between the low ribs and the floor. Now with the two eyes open and the arms in this configuration, take the knees to the right, the nose to the right, and look across the ceiling with your glasses off. And as before, see if you can well coordinate the movement of the head and the movement of the pelvis. Now, of course, something quite different happens in the ribs. The two ends are turning relative to the rib cage. Note what happens in the right ribs as you turn a little more to the right. Perhaps they press into that right hand a little bit and are shaped a little differently. They begin to move a little more, become a little bit more supple. And coordinate the eyes with the head so that the eyes move with the head. Get perhaps that sense that the visual field is sliding relative to you, or that you are moving the eyes across the visual field. More like the world, I suppose. The visual field moves with the eyes, of course. So to note now, what vertebrae turn to the right? Which ones and where? You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be entirely specific. You just note that the head and the vertebrae of the neck turn to the right, as do the vertebrae of the low back. But that this having the ribs constrained with the hands behind the ribs changes that for the middle of yourself. All right, then leave it alone and carefully unfold the legs, lift the pelvis, and take the hands out from behind, and lengthen the legs and rest. Note how things change as you pause, even just these relatively short pauses, that there's a difference in the sensation in the shoulders, the ribs, perhaps the breathing as you leave off the activity and come to rest. Now bend the two knees again, stand the feet, lift the pelvis and introduce the hands behind the low ribs again. If they were stacked one on the other, stack them the other way so that the one that's in contact with the floor is switched. You find a way to do this with some comfort. There's no need for an extreme here. And cross the legs as before, the right over the left. And this time, as the knees go to the right, turn the head to the left. The eyes are open, and you take up this activity of allowing the eyes to move with the head, well synchronizing the turning of the head with the turning of the pelvis in the opposite direction. And know which vertebrae go where now. To what degree does the head turn relative to the pelvis? And what happens with the pressure of the ribs into the hands? How is the rib cage affected by this action? Of course, with both eyes open, slide the visual field. You can try closing one eye or the other if that's helpful to you with this project of moving the eyes with the head so that the experience of the movement, the eyes across the ceiling in front of you, is smooth, continuous. And leave it and unfold the legs, lift the pelvis, take the arms out from behind and rest. All right, stand the two feet, lift the pelvis and bring the hands behind the low ribs. See if that's becoming a little more available. Cross the legs the other way with the left over the right somewhere along the center line, and coordinating the movements of the eyes and head and nose, the face. Take the knees to the left and the face to the left. The position of the hands constrains the rib cage a little bit. You have the two eyes open and see what it's like to have a smooth movement of the eyes across the ceiling in front of you. The degree to which that's possible. You can experiment with having one eye open or the other, see if that makes that simpler. Perhaps you notice things like the frame of the eye socket or the nearby side of the nose as the head turns and the knees turn. And know which vertebrae turn to the left, which ones are less mobile. The head goes with the knees for now. Then just switch it so that as the knees go to the left, the head goes to the right. The eyes are open and you look across the ceiling. can try here once or twice, two or three times perhaps, leaving the eyes closed and seeing how straightforward it is to keep the eyes quiet in the head and let them turn with the head. As you try turning the head one way or the other relative to the knees. And then open one or both eyes and take it up with the eye or eyes open. All right, then leave this and unfold the legs, lift the pelvis, take the arms out with some care. Extend the legs and rest. Stand the 2 feet. It's time to cross both arms over the front of yourself and get a hold of the left shoulder or left elbow with the right hand. Cross the right knee over the left. Put the left foot where it can balance. And now as you take the knees to the right one over the left, the left foot's the one on the floor. Take the shoulders with the knees and take the head and eyes to the left. So the eyes and the head go left, everything else goes right. Everything goes to the right except the head and eyes, which go to the left. So then as you come back to the middle, everything faces forward in the direction of the ceiling. You take up this action of turning the pelvis, the shoulders to the right as the head and eyes go to the left. Note what turns here, which vertebrae go right, which vertebrae go left. How's this project of sliding the eyes across the ceiling, keeping them with the head going? Now all the differentiation is in the cervical spine at the neck. The eyes move in an undifferentiated fashion with the head. And pause in the middle, switch everything over, the folding of the arms, the folding of the legs. Take everything below the neck to the left, and the head and eyes to the right. The left leg is over the right foot is on the floor. Hug across the front to get a hold of your right shoulder. So the shoulders and the pelvis go to the left. The head and eyes go to the right. And try, you can close one eye or the other or not, or leave both closed. Sort out the keeping the eyes with the head, the smoothness of the movement of the eyes across the ceiling in front of you. Relative to the ceiling in front of you. You're welcome to experiment with it for a few movements, and when you're ready, unfold the limbs and lengthen them and rest. And note your contact with the floor. Remember what you can or something of this initial consideration of your experience on your back at the beginning of the lesson with what you find now. If what rests on the floor and how it rests on the floor is different at any particular locations, if the movements of breathing have changed. Accessibility of it. Is there a change in the quality of it or the size of it? And you're welcome to take your time about it when you're ready to do so. Keeping this quality of action similar, roll to one side, come to sit and to stand. Pause along the way whenever you like, and once you come to stand, see if you can avoid adjusting your clothing or your posture or your anything else, and just get a sense of what's left of the lesson or what the result of the lesson is in standing. Look around a little side to side and take a little walk. See what it's like. Thank you, everyone. We'll call it a lesson.